When two people love each other, one of the barometers through which they could determine the extent of their love is how they feel when they're not together, when they're separated, when they miss each other. That's the goal of today. That's the goal of this morning's kinos. To see how much we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way we are able to determine and detect and figure out the extent to which we really do love HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to the extent that we could feel the pain, to the extent that we could viscerally experience the fact that we're distant, that we've been distanced. The extent that a person who's involved in so many activities, eating, drinking, sleeping, working, and yet could, with all the activities, the physical activities that they're involved with, sense that spiritual, that ruchniyistik loss, that will be the calibration, that will be the barometer of how ruchni we indeed are or aren't. Gemara Gittin tells us, a certain point in history, the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, a little bit later, a few generations afterwards, certain city was a city of incredible tzaddikim. They were incredibly righteous in so many ways. And yet we see, Gemara tells the story that their city was punished. And the Amoraim ask, if this city was so wonderful, why were they punished? Why was that city destroyed? The Amoraim respond one to the other, Mishum Deloi Abel al Yerushalayim. They did wonderful things. They gave a lot of tzedakah. They learned a lot of Torah. They davened with the minyan 3 times a day. But they weren't Misabel on Yerushalayim, and if they weren't Misabel on Yerushalayim, they weren't worthy to continue. I want to share with you an important point about what we're going to do this morning. What's the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh? What I mean by that is, a person takes a Tehillim, doesn't know Hebrew, they just take a Tehillim, they know how to read, they don't know what any of the words mean, and they read, they zug Tehillim. So, okay, they're saying Tehillim like so many of us. What would happen if that same person would take out a Gemara and just zug Gemara? Read the words, no clue what the words mean, just say the words. So Chasam Sofer says that there's a fundamental distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, the words themselves are significant, and therefore when you say those words, that would be considered Talmud Torah, and therefore if you would zug Tehillim without understanding a word that you say, you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. To the contrary, says the Chasam Sofer, when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh, essence of Torah Shebaal Peh is not the words. The words are just the kalim to convey the ideas. It's the ideas that constitute the Talmud Torah, and therefore if a person doesn't understand the words of the Mishnayos, the words of the Gemara, the words of Torah Shebaal Peh, they didn't fulfill Talmud Torah. I ask you a question. We're about to start Kinos. Our Kinos, a din of Torah Shebichsav, is in the midst of to say the words, or is it a mitzvah Torah Shebaal Peh? Is it a mitzvah to absorb the ideas, to integrate the ideas, to feel the message that the Paitonim, the Gedolei Ha, perhaps Tanam, Rishonim, wrote for us? Shalom Shalom Al Hirsch has a very strong word, I think in his section on Tisha B'Av, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen it in many years. And he wonders aloud, who is the true heir, H-E-I-R, to the kinos? Is it the person who can understand, who knows exactly which time period it was written, who is the author, what area? Was it southern France? Was it central France? Was it Spain? What are the socioeconomic motivations that caused the kino to be written? How it was written? What's the pattern in which it was written? The person knows the answer to those questions. Is he the true heir to the kinos? Was it the person that could feel the pain, who could cry along with the paitan? Is he the true heir to the kinos? clearly the second. That's our goal today. Our goal is to try to yarshin the pain, to yarshin that sense of loss. If we're zocha, to drop a tear, that's our goal this morning. Of course, Tisha B'Av is not a day to focus just on the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, starting with Chet HaMeraglim, was just the beginning of the Galus. All the tzaras that we experienced since then really is rooted in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Silik HaShchina. I want to share with you some thoughts about how the world changed when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Echa Yu'am Zahav, Yu'am will dim. The color of Zahav was no longer the same bright gold. Gemara Medrash Tehillim, Mishnah Sota, says that from the time the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there was a certain tal, a dew, D-E-W, that would fall on the, that would nourish the crops in a certain way. We don't have that. Nitla tam and haperos. Now sometimes people come back after being in Eretz Yisrael for a few weeks, for a year, they come back and they taste an American tomato. And they say, oh my gosh, tomatoes in Eretz Yisrael, they actually have flavor. Here they're just bright red pieces of beauty without any flavor. Time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a time that the fruit had. What am I trying to say? I'm not worried about the flavor of the tomatoes now and then. It's not just the loss of Ruchnius, or our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but associated and emanating from that, this connect between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also a lessening of the physical opportunities, the bracha that we have. On Hoshanos, on Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah, one of the days of Sukkot as well, repeated on Hoshana Rabbah, one of the Hoshanos is Hoshana that refers specifically to the Beis HaMikdash. Hoshan Yefei Nof Mesos Kol Ha'aretz. Yerushalayim is Yefei Nof, a beautiful place, Mesos, the rejoicing of the whole land, of the whole world. It's Pasuk Tehin and Tehillim. In Eicha it's repeated, but there is the destruction of that place. Same words. I don't know if any time in your family you had the experience, person's not feeling well, and it persists for a few days, and, you know, the wife, the son says, you know, I think maybe you have to go see a doctor, check it out. It's not normal. And blood test comes back. The doctor looks a little bit concerned. At the blood test come back, there are elevated levels of this, elevated levels of this. I think they have to do a biopsy. Terror grips the family. Biopsy scheduled. Holiday weekend, of course. They have to wait 3-4 days. Going for the biopsy, and they're waiting for the answer. They're waiting to find out is our lives going to be changed in this instant. And then, doctor, when he finishes the biopsy, says, okay, I got what I need to get. Should take 3 to 5 business days. 3 to 5 business days ends up being 6 to 7 days. Person comes back, and they miss a call from the doctor's office. They call back. Doctor's office is closed for the day, except for emergencies. It's not an emergency. You can't call the emergency line. But they didn't leave a message. That's not a good sign. Next morning, call back with trepidation, shaking. Secretary picks up. Hello, so-and-so's office. And you say, yeah, I'm waiting for my test results. Oh, yeah, the doctor wanted to speak to you. Heart drops. Transferred to the doctor. The doctor says, oh, I want to let you know. Thank God, everything's clear. The biopsy was negative. You just need a little more vitamin D. Make sure you have some more chopped liver and lettuce. All of a sudden, that weight is lifted off. Shoulders, a new lease on life. Begin to smile again. Haven't smiled in 2 weeks. Contemplating all kinds of the worst thoughts. The whole family was besides itself, and all of a sudden, everything is just joyous, everything is beautiful, the sun shines, you didn't even notice the sun was shining for the past 2 weeks. We have a neshama. And there's something called chait. And chait is the disease of the neshama. A person who has chait is afflicted with a terrible, debilitating disease, a debilitating disease that affects their simcha, that affects their family, that affects their ability to daven, that affects their ability to do anything. There was a time that after that would happen, a person would do a chait, they'd realize, they'd hop on a bus, they'd go to Tachanah Merkazit, jump on a light rail, 7 minutes later, walk through the doors of the old city, shell out $50, buy a little shepsula, walk into the Beis HaMikdash, do a vidui, see it, hukrav on the Mizbeach, go home a new person, go home with a new lease on life, go home with a simchas achayim, go home with a smile on their face, go home knowing that their tefillas are now going to be penetrate the heavens once again, know that their HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with them, know that that disease has been eradicated from inside their Misos Kol Ha'aretz. Yerushalayim was the source of happiness. Continues the Hoshanos. Hoshanos Linas HaTzedek. You go to sleep with righteousness. You feel bad about what you did that day. Just like we said. Just bring a carbon. Chazal point out. Carbon to Tamid was mechaper, and anything that carbon to Tamid of the morning was mechaper, and any averis that a person might have committed the evening before. Carbon to Tamid Shabin Ha'abayim is mechaper on the averis that a person might have committed that daytime. Can I point something out, my friends? Carbon Tamid is brought by whom? It's not a carbon yachid. It's a carbon tzibur. There's one carbon yachid for every last Jew in all of Eretz Yisrael, in the whole world. You don't even have to take that bus to Yerushalayim to the Tachanah Merkazit to the light rail to buy your shepsel and walk into the Beis HaMikdash and then go back home and feel happy. Every Jew knows that every morning the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm living in Haifa, I'm living in Afula, I'm living in Ashkelon, I'm living in Be'er Sheva, I'm living in Farakwe, I'm living in Lawrence, and there's a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash every morning. Hoshanas continues. Hoshana Aliyas Hashvatim. Were any of you at the Siyum Hashas a few years ago? It's coming up in another year or two. Any of you have that sense, that Shema Yisrael with 50,000 people, 60,000 people, that Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah with 60,000 people, davening a Shmona Esri B'tzibur, not just B'tzibur, but with 50,000 Jews, the Kavod HaShamayim, the Kavod HaTorah, forget that, the pride, the pride of being part of something so incredible. Every 7.5 years, we have that opportunity to be joined together with 60,000 other Jews focused in one goal. 60,000? Huh. What's that? Imagine if it was 600,000. Imagine if it was 3 million. Not for 2 hours, but for 2 weeks. Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Aliyah L'Regel. Now, when I was in the Mir, Eretz Yisrael has some, you know, downsides also. When I was in the Mir for Yom Kippur, the yeshiva put up signs, or people put up signs that said, be very careful that you lock your dira when you go to shul on Yom Kippur, because that's a time that people, there are a lot of burglaries on Yom Kippur. You know why? Because they know the entire country is in shul. They know that entire neighborhoods are in shul, and no one's going to be home during Kol Nidre, no one's going to be home during this Mosef, no one's going to be home during the Ilah. The streets will be quiet, people could just walk in, take whatever they want, so make sure you lock your dira on Yom Kippur. What happened if it wasn't for a day or an hour, it was for a week? And it's not just your house, your iPads, your Mac, your computers, your jewelry. You have 50 cows in the front yard. You have a year's worth of tomatoes, a year's worth of mangoes growing in your Pardesim. And you just take your family, your whole city, everyone just wanders away to Yerushalayim for a week. and come back, what should you expect to find? A mango or two left for yourself? Maybe a diseased, broken down, crippled cow that they couldn't run off with? Pasuk says that wasn't the case. Explicit pasuk in Chumash. Lo yachmon ish es artzecha ba'aloscha liras es p'nei Hashem lokecha shalosh pamim ba'ashana. A haftach from HaKadosh Baruch. You go leave. Everybody leave. The entire city. City is empty. No policemen, no nothing. You go to Yerushalayim for a week. A week and a half, you come back, and everything's there, pristine. I want to share with you a story. Story of Kvod Shamayim. Story that has a sad beginning, but a happier ending. Gemara in Tainus tells this story. Pam achas, alu kol Yisrael l'regel b'Yerushalayim. Bnei Yisrael go up to Aliyah l'regel, and they're in trouble, because, you know, in their houses, wherever they live, they had wells, and they had their water cisterns, but here we have all of Bnei Yisrael coming up to the roads to Yerushalayim, and it happened to have been a drought that year. There was no water in the cisterns along the Aliyah l'regel route for Bnei Yisrael to drink water. If there's no water, you can't travel, right? For a week. If you go now in the Gush Etzion area, they'll show you water cisterns and wells that were used by the Ole Rego 2,000, 3,000 years ago. Anyway, during this drought, one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Akdimon Ben Gurion, goes to a certain wealthy hegemon. I can't say priest because it predates Christianity. One of the great, one of the tribes that were living in Eretz Yisrael, and says, do me a favor, let me access, you have villages along the route of Aliyah l'regel, let me make a deal with you, let me have 12 mayanos mayim, the springs, let us access the springs or the wells that we could do our pilgrimage, and I'll give you back 12 springs of water corresponding to whatever you give me, I'll give you back also. And if I don't pay you back, if I'm not able to give you 12, water-filled either wells or springs, then I'll give you a huge amount of money for each of them, 12 huge amounts of money, if I can't pay back at the end of whatever the time that they set. Gemara continues, the time arrived at V'lo Yardu Geshamim. So this greedy guy sends a letter and says, you know, the morning of the day has arrived, I want my sum of money that you promised me. Nachdiman Ben-Gurion responds, it's only the morning. The afternoon comes, he sends another messenger, okay, I'm ready, please send me the money now, time is up. And Nachdiman Ben-Gurion replies, I have till the evening. At the evening, the guy is on top of the world. Listen to what the Gemara says. Liglig alav oso hegemon, this priest starts poking fun and Akdimon Ben-Gurion and says, Kol hashana kula lo yardu geshamim. The entire year there was a drought. And now you think that water is going to come and fill up your wells and fill up your springs and you give them to me? Listen to the next four words. Nichnas lebeis hamerchatz besimcha. He went into the bathhouse besimcha. Rabosai, if there's no water to drink, who's going to the bathhouse? While this hegemon is going to this bathhouse, besimcha, Nakdimon enters the Beis HaMikdash in tears, puts on his talis, says in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Goli v'yadol lefanach, Hashem, you know, deep in my heart that I didn't do this for my own kavod. I didn't do this for my family's kavod. I did it for one reason, for kvodcha asisi. So that Klal Yisrael could come and do Aliyah l'regel. Not that we could feel unity. We feel like we're part of something big. That's beautiful. But Aliyah l'regel was so much more than that. Such kavod shamayim, seeing Klal Yisrael come up to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only reason why I made this deal, so that they could have water and come and continue this Kiddush Hashem. Miyad, immediately, the heavens darken. The clouds come, the rain falls, and fills up all the wells that the Jewish people had along the road, all the Mayanos Mayim, and he returns to the priest. What was that guy trying to do when he took that bath? When he took that bath, that was what Nachum Ben Gurion responded in his tefillas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're trying to make a Chilul Hashem out of this. You know, Chilul Hashem we've had to suffer. Chilul Hashem in the modern terminology, Chilul Hashem of just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people being so pained and so terrorized over the years. And to the contrary, can we imagine the Kvod Shemayim that could, should happen? And instead, this is what we have. What else did we lose? Malko, we said an Eicha, Malko, v'sara bagoyim, ain't Torah. Ain't Torah. You know how many people are learning in the Mir in Yerushalayim? You know how many Yungalite are learning in Lakewood? You know how big Darchei Torah is? Mr. Kaufman on my block told me that when they started Darchei Torah, they had 40 students. Now you go to the 40 students in a class. 8 in a grade. Not that many. That's Ein Torah? Yeah. That's Ein Torah. Compared to what we had. Continues the Pasuk in Eicha. Do you ever wonder, by the way, why kids go off the derech? Not just recently, but for so many years. Probably because of two things. Well, more recently because of the following two things. Previous generations, maybe other. More recently because they don't enjoy their learning. Can't connect to davening. You know how much of a hard time elementary schools, high schools are having trying to figure out ways to get kids into davening? You know what? If you daven and you don't, nothing happens to you, so it's hard to daven. Gam ki ezak v'ashaveh asosam tfilasi. We daven and we don't see the answers. That wasn't always like that. There used to be a time we would daven, you'd see what you're davening for. We're going to start saying the kinos. The first group of kinos starts with kinavav, because we did the previous four or five last night. The first 15 kinos were written by Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. And the ones from 6 till 20, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, the one from 21 till the very end, are other points in history by other people. Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, it's unclear who exactly he was. The Arizal is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that he didn't like piyutim, pizmonim, except those that were true, not just on their superficial level, but they were true, al derech ha'emes, al pi kabbalah, levels that we don't understand, that we are not able to appreciate, and therefore he would specifically appreciate the piyutim of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir that were written, that matched, that were true on so many different levels, both on the Nigla level, on the Nista level as well. Magen Avraham continues that when Rabbi Elazar HaKalir composes certain one of the piyutim about the Chayos HaKodesh, fire came down from Shemayim and circled him as he composed it. Who was he? When did he live? Tosis writes that he was none other than the son of Shimon Bar Yochai. Remember the story in Lag BaOmer, Shimon Bar Yochai goes to the cave 13 years, comes out with his son in that cave 13 years. That son, Rabbi Elazar Bar Shimon. Other opinions say that he's the time period between the Savaram and the Rishon, one of the Gaonim, 800s, 900s. Either way, he writes with incredible depth. And we're going to start with the Kina Shavas. Everything just comes to a standstill. Sort of when there's an incredible, that first reaction, when there's an incredible loss, when, God forbid, a tragedy occurs, there's just utter chaos. Everything just stops. This disbelief, this denial. That's what happened. Who could imagine? What do you mean, who could imagine? The Nevi'im Yirmiyahu was warning us for years and years and years. Guys, I'm telling you it's going to happen. I'm telling you it's going to happen. It doesn't change anything. Somebody knows, God forbid. We had this in our own community. This past year, Hashem Yirachem. They know relative is time is coming nearer, 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 nearer. So you expect at the funeral, everybody should be composed, everybody should be able to sit like a mensch. They knew it was coming, they had time to prepare. That doesn't change the shock. It doesn't change the denial. It doesn't change the disbelief. The shock that we're going to speak now is not just our shock of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but all the shock, all the pain, all the disbelief, all the denial from all the tragedies that Klal Yisrael, Beprat, as a nation, have suffered from then until today. Vav. Shavas, Surumani, Shimuni, Avraim, 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 Shimuni